today I only slept 5 hours, although for the 20 hour or 19 hours I was awake, I was only half awake. Or I'm doing my service, I'm half dead, but at least I'm doing it. Therefore, we should also the quality of the service.
How many have read the letters from Srila Prabhupada? Okay. Basically, from my reading of Prabhupada's letters, Prabhupada tried to keep balance. We've heard balance in the sense, is there an intention there? Mother Mitravindu, you listening? The tendency of a neophyte devotee, or one who's, especially one who's not grown up in a certain culture, and nowadays the Vedic culture is not that evident, even in India, is there's a tendency to go to one extreme or to another extreme. Either the extreme that one should keep his body completely healthy, because without a completely healthy body, you can't render devotional service. And the other extreme is, who cares about the body? It's only temporary. I'm a spiritual soul. Either extremes, you wind up, in a very weak position to advance spiritually. If you become so much to the extreme that I got to take care of my body, then you won't have any time for spiritual life. And if you neglect your body, later on your body won't function, so you won't actually have time for spiritual life either. So Prabhupada wanted moderation. And although the instructions are to specific people at specific times, that one can see the overall perspective is to be moderate, to take care of the body, but not to such an extreme that you forget about your spiritual life, that you forget about what the goal of life is. So in one sense, in one letter, Prabhupada will say, my first instruction to all of you is to take care of your health. And another instruction he'll give that, this body is the place of disease, that in any case, whatever our physical condition is, we have to go on with our devotional service. In other words, we have to assimilate Prabhupada's instructions and come to some kind of balanced perspective where we look in more of a detached way at the body and the mind, and then we try and make plans how to take care of the body throughout our whole life, so it gives us the minimum amount of problems. Not that the general of the Sankirtan devotee, he comes, he doesn't care if he wears shoes on Sankirtan or not. It's snowing outside and he has his spring, his summer coat on, and without a hat or socks, because he's transcendental. And people think he's crazy. They don't think he's transcendental, they think he's mad. Therefore, on that sense, in the other sense, is a person who has, 50 pill boxes and he's spending half the meal, taking pills. this pill for that and that thing, and everything he does, he can't attend the morning program because he has, he has to exercise his body or something, so he knows, never hears about Krishna. So that type of thing is not very good either. Prabhupada said, in principle, we'd rather die or starve, for instance, rather than. There's one devotee, he said, but Prabhupada, I'm working so hard, I don't have time to chant my rounds. The brother said, how often are you eating? So how many hours a day are you eating and sleeping? So he said, 6 hours of sleep. Then he said, sleep four. If you can't chant your rounds, sleep 4 hours. So that's another perspective. But factually speaking, if we're actually sincere about wanting to hear and chant, we'll find time to hear and chant. And if we want an excuse, we'll find an excuse. It all depends about what we want. Krishna will help us. So much about that. Any questions about that? You'll have a chance. You can read Prabhupada's letters. And Prabhupada says here, for instance, he's inclined to Ayurveda, massage. Prabhupada throughout his life was quite skeptical about allopathic medicine, because it's based upon a wrong conception. Therefore, how much good can it do? Although Prabhupada sometimes take a little bit of allopathic medicine, but he was very careful how he dealt with it. And also Ayurvedic medicine, most of the people, anytime you have money,
and position and fame, then people flock to it, not so much to help people, but to get position, money, and fame. And therefore, there are many quacks. Matter of fact, probably most of the Ayurvedic doctors in India are quacks. They have little idea, really, what Ayurveda is. All they do is, even I've seen in Vrindavan, people, every doctor takes your pulse and feels it. He doesn't know what he's doing. But just the fact that he does that, you think, well, he must be bona fide. But that's not Ayurveda either. Nor is just taking your pulse and giving some medicine Ayurveda. No, again, the brief summary of Ayurveda is that in order to maintain the body, practically speaking, we have to be able to digest and to eliminate. To digest, which means assimilate nutrients or ideas, hopefully Krishna consciousness, and also to eliminate the excess, the unwanted or unnecessary, or that which is serves, that's called the malas. What we're eating, that's the food. And to help us digest the food and perform different functions, there's the three doshas. And they form different physiological or different structures in the body, that's called the dhatus. And that which part which, while it's in the body, maintains the body, helps maintain it, and which eventually has to be eliminated, are called the malas. Now, everyone has a dosha constitution, one of the three doshas. And the doshas, first we went over the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, and earth, which in Sanskrit is called prithivi. So, as I said, earth has to do with solid structures. Everything that's solid and has substance is earth. Similarly, water, with a capital W, which is jala, that has to do with everything that has liquidity, is in flux, motion. Actually, water deals with the cohesiveness of substances. It helps things cohere together. Just like in the atom, what coheres the whole atom together, that's water, jala. So the neutrons, the protons, and the electrons keeping it all together is the water part of the atom. Similarly, the earth part of the atom is the neutrons, the electrons, and the protons. While the fire, Agni, that's when the electrons are broken up, the energy that comes out, that's fire, Agni, which is the luminous part of it. Or if you split the atom, then the energy that comes out, that's the fire energy. Air. That keeps the electrons spinning in its orbit. Oh, here it's fire.
Oh, yeah. Ether.
Kash. So Kash is the space in which everything takes place. Now, everything in the material world, gross level at least, is made out of these five elements. So similarly, however we look at the doshas, the doshas, again, are the energies that cause different physiological or physiochemical reactions within the body. They cause the different things that happen in the body, more or less. And there is vata, pitta, and kapha. Different commentators and different persons, they give different idea is what vata, pitta, and kapha. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he mentions that earth, water, fire, air, intelligence, and mind, and false ego, these comprise everything. But he doesn't say there's another energy called vata, pitta, and kapha. Therefore, vata, pitta, and kapha are within those energies. And therefore, the idea of, like, for instance, vata is an energy which is ether and air together, combined. How ether and air are combining or reacting with each other. And all, therefore, vata manifests itself within the body, wherever it is, with these different qualities. So whether vata is ether and air combined together, and the combinations of these different elements combined. Because it's hard to say. Some commentators, they say that vata is a different energy that controls ether and air together. They maintain the balance between ether and air in the body. And some say that vata is just a combination of ether and air in the body. Without ether or space, then air can't move. So air is always moving or attempting to move. So there's always, whenever you have air, you must have also space, or else the air won't move. Similarly, pitta in the body, whenever you have fire in the body, it's always in combination with water. So some commentators, they say that pitta is the energy that keeps the balance between fire and water in the body. And some say it's the combination of fire and water in the body, the qualities of fire and water interacting within the body. Is that clear? Just like, to give an example, fire is always with water. But in the stomach, if you have too much fire and not enough water, what happens? You get an ulcer. And if you have too much water and not enough fire? Yeah, indigestion. So that they say that's going. So pitta is that energy which tries to balance water and fire together in the proper amounts. And then kapha is that energy of earth and water. Now these are with capital letters. So again, water or jala. Jala means the cohesive energy within the body. So make include all different types of different types of water within the body, or liquid substances, or energies that cause cohesiveness within the body. So kapha will have that quality because it has water or jala. Plus earth, prativi. So earth creates solid structure, substance, and cohesiveness comes from water. So when you have kapha, you'll have those two qualities, cohesiveness, stickiness, or other attributes like that. For instance, when you have too much water in the body, too much water and not enough earth, what do you have in the body?
Mucus.
Well, you get something called edema. I think it's pronounced edema. A B E M A. It means that the whole body, the different, the lymphatic system gets filled up with water and things get very puffy. Get waterlogged. Similarly, if there's not enough water and too much earth, or if earth settles out of the water, what do you get? You get kidney stones. Kidney stones, gallbladder stones, things like that. You get stones in the body. So kapha is that energy that keeps water and earth balanced in the body so that you don't get gallstones or bladder stones and you don't get edema. The proper balance between earth and water. So there are energies in the body, and since generally Krishna, when he defines what the different energies in the material world are, he only mentions eight. We can take the position that earth and water, you know, there's a balancing structure called kapha, another energy which comes out of earth, the combination of earth and water in the body, directed by ultimately by Krishna's intelligence. which is called kapha. Because not earth and water, they don't function independently of the laws of nature which come from Krishna. But under the laws of nature, under Krishna's guiding principles, then when earth and water are in the body, then there's an energy called kapha, which according to, or called the dosha, which more or less determines whether earth, how earth and water are interacting with each other. But in another sense, kapha is generally taken as an actual energy, and so is pitta and vata. Because there's, as energies, they're eliminated as qualities. And another aspect, we have to understand that ether, air, fire, water, they all have their subtle aspects also. Can get a little theoretical and confusing. I read commentaries on Charak Samhita, which is the basic book, and Sushruta Samhita, and another book called Astanga Ridaya, and they all have different ideas of what these things are. And then I read the modern commentaries by different writers, and they all had different ideas. So since I have never met Pitta, Kapha, and Vata, it's hard for me to figure it out myself. But for practical purposes, we can take them as separate energies, that they're actually energies that exist in the body. And when they exist, just different amounts, whether they're the subtle energies of earth, water, fire, ether, whatever, when they exist to different amounts, and then they affect the earth, water, fire, and air within our body. Is that clear? If you have too much kapha, for instance, then you're going to have an imbalance of water and earth in your body. If you have not enough kapha, you're going to have an imbalance also, a different type of imbalance. If you have the right amount of kapha in your body, then the balance will be proper. Yes. But there's two different types of mental things. As I said, earth, water, fire, and air, they also have their subtle aspect. Just like you can think of things, structures in the material world, and you get their qualities. So they have their psychological effect. But then different from them is also the mind. And along with that are the three gunas. So you can also have the subtle effect on the mode of ignorance, the subtle effect on the mode of passion, and the subtle effect on the mode of goodness. Depending upon the gunas also. So sometimes they ask, is vata or pitta or kapha, is that meant for people, are the people who are pitta, are they in the mode of goodness? While the vata people are always running around, are they in the mode of passion? Or are the kapha people who are real complacent, are they in the mode of ignorance? But in reality, according to the mode of nature you are, if you're a vata person, you may be a vata person in the mode of goodness or in the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. Or you may be a combination. Your modes of nature are not determined by your dosha combinations, but upon your purity. Therefore, any of these three doshas, any constitution can be one of the three modes or a combination of the three modes. Although there may be slight tendencies, but then again it becomes confusing because the commentators I read who were pitta, they glorified pitta as being in the mode of goodness. And those who had a different constitution, they said that kapha was more or less in the mode of goodness, was the best constitution. But factually they're all terrible constitutions. Any material body has problems. Whatever. But keeping this in mind, then a person who has vata constitution, then they're going to have a tendency, because vata constitution means that they have an excess of vata within their body. So the tendency will be that their air and ether within their body will have a tendency to go out of balance. Therefore, they'll have a tendency more towards, you know, diseases that are caused by ether and air not interacting properly. For instance, if air goes too quickly in the body, then it will cause certain types of nervous diseases, So people who have vata influence, heavily vata influence, they're very nervous. Have a tendency to be nervous. Who here is vata? Why? You find that you're more nervous? Active, they miss. What's that? Especially vata pitta, is all tend to be unstable. Well, that's different. But vata, who's vata pitta? They'll tend to be unstable because they lack kapha, which gives stability. Isn't that right? So the persons who are always wondering about, you know, what to do, what they're going to do next, because they have, you know, every day is a new day for them. So that's because vata, just like if you have fire in the body, the best way of increasing the fire is you just add some fan to it. All right, you add some air to it, and then the fire blazes. So vata, which is light, and pitta, which is light, they lack the heaviness of kapha. And the intensity of pitta is encouraged by the irregularity of vata. They both kind of work together without stability. So the person is generally very intense, but very irregular. So they don't, one moment they're intense about this, and the next moment they're intense about that. So they burn themselves out in different things. No, not necessarily, but there's a tendency like that. They don't always have the same service every year. But knowing those things, then what's necessary to increase kapha, or at least stability, to become more stable. Now vata is irregular and pitta is intense. So in order to balance it, then one has to understand what are the factors which will balance vata's irregularity, pitta's intensity, and kapha's complacency, or lack of motivation. Knowing what foods we can eat, what thoughts we should have, what we should hear about, what our lifestyle should be like. I mean, Ayurveda goes so much into, you know, what colors you should wear, into every, what type of glass you should drink from, but we don't have to go into that. The best thing, this is all solved if one just is Krishna conscious, but as we heard in Ravindra Sarupra's class yesterday, Prabhupada said, one time he said that was an impractical suggestion. How many devotees were in the class yesterday? Yes. So Prabhupada one time, just to recap, shortly. There was some discussion about how to solving some problem with an ISKCON, and then everyone was giving different suggestions, and then finally one devotee said, but Prabhupada, maybe we should just become Krishna conscious, and Prabhupada said another impractical suggestion. So we're not about to solve all our problems, because Prabhupada, when he said Krishna conscious, he didn't mean just we should go through our sadhana. Our sadhana is meant to help us become Krishna conscious. But that doesn't mean, because we have a dhoti or a sari on, or I wear a tilak and I carry my japa beads with me, therefore I'm Krishna conscious. But we chant Hare Krishna, we go to the program. So hoping, by doing my service and hearing about and chanting about Krishna, gradually Krishna will be pleased with my efforts and he'll reveal himself to me. And as we become more aware of his form, his qualities, his activities, as we become factually conscious of Krishna, that's called Krishna consciousness. But it's obvious that we're not going to become Krishna conscious overnight. Therefore, a little knowledge in the field of practical knowledge of how the material world works will help us so that we don't become overwhelmed by the material energy. If we think, well, I'm a devotee, I'm Krishna conscious, I can do whatever I want here, and everything will be fine. Therefore, I can eat as much as I want or any time or anything, and everything is all right because I'm transcendental. And if anyone tells me I'm not transcendental, then I become discouraged. And on the other hand, if we think, well, I'm just completely, you know, I'm not Krishna conscious at all, I know nothing about Krishna, and therefore everything depends upon my material expertise, that's also the other side of the pendulum, which is useless, because we are Krishna conscious to some extent, and even a neophyte devotee who's trying to become Krishna conscious, Krishna takes special interest in the devotee. So we can't take the extreme that I am Krishna conscious, it doesn't matter what I do, or the other side that I'm not Krishna conscious, and therefore I only have to worry about the material side of my life, and maybe Krishna consciousness will come in the future. But we're in between. Therefore we have to balance it. Balance it on one side, rely upon Krishna, and try to adjust our material lives in such a way as to make it most conducive to help us become Krishna conscious. And for that, Prabhupada pointed out that having a healthy body is conducive. Therefore, we should do something towards that direction which will help us. But not that if I don't have a healthy body, I can't be Krishna conscious. That's ridiculous. Because Krishna consciousness has nothing to do with the body. But as much as I try to help the body be as optimally healthy as possible, it may facilitate my sadhana or my service, which will help me become Krishna conscious. Is that clear? So towards that end, we'll explain something about these five elements, or the six tastes. So sweet with a capital W, sour, salty, pungent, astringent, and bitter. These are the six tastes. In Sanskrit, I don't know, Sanskrit, Madhurya, Amla, Lavana, but I don't think we have to go into the technicalities. But in case you see it, just like Krishna says, Kat Vamla, Lavana, Yushna, Tikshna, Ruksha, Vidahina, Ahara, Rajasasyesta, Dukha, Shokamaya, Prada. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions foods that are too salty, too sour, too pungent, too bitter, too hot, too burning, which cause distress and misery and disease, are liked by persons in the mode of passion. So there he mentions some of the katvamla, kat pungent, too hot. In any case, these are with capital, so that doesn't mean just burfi is sweet. Sweet means that is composed of two elements, earth and water. Again, this is capital, earth. Earth meaning solid substance, water meaning cohesive energy. And similarly, sour is composed of earth and fire. And salty is composed of water and fire. Pungent is composed of mostly fire and air. And astringent is earth and air. And bitter is air and ether. So when these elements combine together, they cause these six tastes. And the six tastes, they have different properties, of which that sheet tells some of the properties. Just like sweet causes the building of substances or structures within the body. It's nutritive. Being nutritive, it builds up the bodily structures of the dhatus. And most food is sweet. Sweet includes all the groups of carbohydrates. And because most food is sweet, practically all the three doshas they need, most of their diet is going to be sweet. Now there's pure sweet, for instance, sugar is pure sweet. And then there is, let's call it, and then there's complex sweet. Carbohydrates are complex sweets. Mostly what we eat, or the foods that we have, are complex. In their pure form, they have a tendency to imbalance the doshas very easily. But in their complex form, it's much less likely that by taking them or eating them, that they'll imbalance the doshas. So given that they have these different, they're made of these different elements, therefore, by eating things that are sweet, or sour, salty, pungent, astringent, bitter, they'll have a tendency either to increase or to decrease the different doshas. So knowing what our dosha or our prakriti is, our dosha constitutional, our constitution is, then we'll have some idea in general what of these different tastes we should eat in what proportion. For instance, if I have a pitta constitution, being pitta in constitution, I'll have an excess of what element, or a great amount of what element in my body? Fire. Therefore, having excess fire in my body, I'll be prone to different types of diseases, such as, what are some of the diseases caused by excess fire?
Ulcers.
Ulcers, yes, ulcers. Rashes on the skin. What's that? Yeah, infections. What's that? That's more vata. That's vata. Although pitta may indirectly cause an imbalance of vata, just like fire may burn away water, which causes dryness. But that means that it's going to imbalance vata. An absence of kapha will cause an excess of vata, or the same symptoms of an excess of vata. Therefore, knowing which, or for instance, if I have vata constitution, what element in my body will be permanent? Air. So vata people, having air because air dries due to excessive motion, therefore they have a tendency towards dryness, which will cause what kind of diseases within vata people? Constipation. Who here is vata? They can say the. So there'll be a tendency towards constipation, right? If you don't drink enough liquid or water, maybe some dryness or constipation. So anything that causes goes along with dryness. But it's not that just vata people will get diseases caused by dryness. Any one of the doshas, any constitution, has all the three doshas, and any one of them can go off. But because vata people, for instance, already have an excess of air, if they just get more air or vata within their body, then it's going to be even more imbalanced. They already have a tendency towards dryness, towards nervousness, towards excitability, irregularity, and more vata entering into their system will even cause it more. Similarly, kapha people, what element will they have excessive within their body? Tamavriksha from? What element do you think kapha people will have excessive in their body? It's either you have a choice between earth and water. Yeah, actually it's more water. The primary element in kapha is water. The primary element in pitta is fire. The primary element in vata is air. We have to open a window here. Would that help? Yeah, let's open the windows if we can. Someone can open the window there. Can we open one of the windows there? Oh, okay. What was that? Don't worry about that. That won't cause too much disturbance. Tomorrow maybe we can. Okay, open the door. Let's just sit down. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Tomorrow you can look at this thing. The other fact is this class is after lunch, so it's really... we're still in a state of digestion. We have a class. Of course, this class is all about digestion, so. appropriate after lunch. Kapha's tendency, water is the primary element in kapha, and pitta, fire, and vata is air. Now, sweet has water and earth and water as its primary elements. So will that increase or decrease kapha? Or let's start with vata. Put down vata, pitta, and kapha. We'll put down whether sweet is going to increase or decrease it. So it'll decrease it, yes. Because vata is made of earth, ether, and air. So things like air is the lightest, earth is the heaviest. So the opposite of kapha is vata. They're opposites. And pitta will sweet increase, pitta, which is fire and water. Here in this case, it'll decrease. Because fire is the primary element, and fire and water, certainly fire, water will put out the fire. And kapha, will it increase or decrease it?
Increase.
Earth and water. So this is earth and water. So out of the six different elements, sweet will increase kapha the most because it's most like kapha. And as I put on the board yesterday, like increases like, and opposites, they balance each other. So the element which will most increase kapha is sweet. Therefore, kapha people, if they eat a lot, because most food is sweet, then they'll gain weight. Yes. You know. And sour is earth and fire. Well, what about vata? Will it increase or decrease it? It'll decrease. And pitta?
Increase.
And kapha?
Increase.
Yes, it'll increase. Salty, water and fire? Will it increase it or decrease it?
Increase.
Decrease. Vata. And pitta?
Increase.
Kapha? Decrease. Oh, I'm sorry, it's increase. It's increase. Yeah. Sometimes. That's a different thing. Pungent. Vata, will it increase or decrease it? Not so much, but at first it'll decrease and then it'll increase it. And pitta? Yes. And kapha?
Decrease.
Astringent?
What's astringent?
Astringent is substances that cause a puckering in your mouth. An example of puckering, your lips pucker. It's a dry pucker, like unripe bananas, or sometimes dull a little bit. Do you ever take unripe bananas?
Yeah.
It's kind of, it causes like a puckering. Puckering means your lips kind of like dry up and contract. So astringent is food that causes contraction. The, like witch hazel, I don't know if you know what witch hazel is. It's a substance that causes contraction. It's not a very common taste. In teas, it's tannin. It's a tannin. Do you ever take tea?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it causes like a dryness, you know, things contract. That's astringent. So will it increase vata or decrease it? Increase it. Pitta?
Decrease.
And kapha?
Decrease.
And bitter is next. Example, everyone knows bitter. Everyone has bitter experiences here, right? So examples of bitter food are not very common either. Corella, you know, bitter melon, or neem. Grapefruit is mostly sour. neem leaves, aloe vera, spinach is generally a little astringent and bitter. Lemons are bitter and sour. But bitter is a rare taste also. Therefore, in Europe, sometimes they have bitter, what do they call that? Swedish bitters.
Sage
is not so bitter. It's more heating. Yeah, it has pungency in it. Most of these spices are a combination. Predominant is not, I don't think it's bitter.
What
about eggplant? Well, these are really complex substances, but eggplant depends where it is. Eggplant in India is bitter and pungent, mostly pungent with some bitterness. And in the West, eggplant is mostly sweet with some other things like astringency. But every eggplant is different. It's very different in India than it is in the West. So bitter increases vata or decreases it?
Increase.
And pitta?
Decrease.
Yeah, so decrease it. And kapha?
Decrease.
This is the beginning of understanding. Just like, for instance, knowing what is an example of sour food? Very sour. What's that?
Lemon.
Yeah, but lemon is special because lemon is not pure sour. It's sour plus bitter. Yogurt is sour, yes, yogurt. Especially yogurt that's old. There's sweet yogurt also. But in the West, we're used to sour yogurt. You know, bought from a store somewhere. Pure sour is... Does anyone know what pure sour is? A substance that's... No, that's pure sour. Alcohol. And sour will affect which organ? Does anyone know? The liver, yes. So what substance will hurt the liver the most? Yeah, so alcoholics have problems with what part of their body usually? Isn't that right? Yeah. And so sour will increase what, pitta or decrease it?
Increase
it. Yeah, so sour will actually, it's made out of earth and fire, but generally it's taken that sour will increase pitta the most. That means that the element of fire is very strong within sour. But it also has, because fire is very strong, will it help digestion or decrease digestion? Yes, it'll increase. But pitta already has strong fire. Too much fire will cause what? Acidity. Acid stomach. Just like an acid. So, sour, there's an order of these three. This will increase pitta. Sour will increase it the most, then pungent, then salty. So pitta people have to be very careful about eating substances such as yogurt. Although yogurt is advertised as being very healthy, but especially store-bought yogurt, which is very sour, if they eat it, they'll get pitta diseases. And fire diseases usually affect the blood, because the blood is a fire organ within the body. And therefore, by eating too much yogurt, you'll get skin diseases, because the blood affects the skin. It manifests itself on the skin. Similarly, what energy do you think will decrease pitta the most? Which taste? No. Which energy is most unlike pitta? Pitta is bitter, yes. Bitter. Pitta is mostly hot, but bitter is the opposite. What's that? Yes. Bitter is best. And which element do you think, which of the tastes do you think will increase vata the most? Bitter. Yes. Bitter will increase it the most. And which will decrease it the most?
I doubt it.
Maybe.
Salty. The exact opposite. The water for the dryness and the fire for the coldness. Salt. So they need, people with vata constitution, they generally need a little bit more salt than everyone, than other constitutions. But salt is not the main food in anyone's diet, hopefully. Therefore, everyone needs salt, but vata people will need more salt, pitta people the least amount, because it increases it, and kapha moderate. Similarly, which taste will increase kapha the most?
Yes.
And which will decrease it the most?
Pungent.
Pungent, yes. So knowing these things, for instance,